We pray these things in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Again, good Sunday morning to each of you. I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to first Lamentations. We'll begin in Lamentations chapter 3, and then we'll be looking, Lord willing, at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you're turning to Lamentations chapter 3, allow me to remind you of a song that was brought to my attention years ago. I won't sing it to you. You're welcome. But allow me to remind you of this song that became popular in the early 90s. It was written by a young lady, a Christian contemporary artist who was and still is from the state of Tennessee. And she wrote these words. And the words of this song went this way. We believe in God, and we all need Jesus, because life is hard, and it might not get easier. Let me say that to you again. We believe in God, and we all need Jesus, because life is hard, and it might not get easier. Isn't that encouraging to you today? As we look around in our world and at the cultural climate all around us, we realize that is true. And especially as we look into the truth of God's word, we realize that the Christian life especially is hard, and it might not get easier. And so our question for our consideration today is the following. How do we as believers, how does the church today respond to such difficult days? I've invited you to turn to Lamentations chapter 3, and be reminded that Lamentations is written by a prophet who was very popular. A popular prophet for us today anyway, didn't have great response, but a prophet nonetheless that we can practically relate to, because he not only shares with us his prophetic ministry that's recorded for us in the book of Jeremiah and mentioned again here in Lamentations. Jeremiah not only shares with us his prophetic ministry, but he also shares with us his personal struggle, the difficulties that he faced as he was trying to do what God called him to do, as he was trying to be faithful, as he was trying to persevere, as he was dealing with the difficulties of life. He wanted to respond appropriately. I'm thankful that God's word tells us that it's all profitable. It's useful. And we find in the midst of it all kinds of encouragement from God's word that brings us comfort and strength when we are without strength and comfort. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, because he indeed shares with us not only his prophetic ministry, but his personal struggle. He shares with us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 18, the following words. He describes his own circumstance this way. He says in verse 18 of Lamentations chapter 3, the following. So I say, my strength has perished. My strength has perished. Have you felt that way lately? That in the midst of very difficult days, when life is hard and when it might not get easier, have you found yourself saying, I'm tired. My strength has perished. Maybe we don't lose that language, but perhaps we declare the same sort of thing. Jeremiah's circumstances were so tough, were so difficult, that he made the declaration in verse 18, my strength has perished. He goes on to describe his plight. Again, the weeping prophet sharing with us his personal struggle. He says, and so has my hope from the Lord. Not only did Jeremiah say, I'm without strength, my strength has perished, Jeremiah also declares that his hope had perished as well. We have heard many people making the same declarations during this season of pandemic. During these unprecedented days, We have many people across the globe saying the very same thing that Jeremiah said, experiencing similar things that Jeremiah experienced, being without strength and being without hope. Jeremiah in verses 19 and 20, I trust you're following along with me today, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, Jeremiah describes those circumstances. He uses language that helps us better understand that he indeed was without strength. He indeed was without hope. And so he says in verse 19, remember my affliction. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Jeremiah uses language that maybe we would not use, but we can understand nevertheless that he is going through great heartache and great difficulty. Remember how tough it was, my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. He describes in verse 20 language that conveys his very person and his very being was without strength and without hope. He says in verse 20, surely my soul remembers. His very person, his very being, Jeremiah says, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Jeremiah is in a condition of distraught despair, discouragement, and depression. Jeremiah is without strength and without hope. And let me bring to your attention in verse 21 a principle that we should never forget, especially in days like we are experiencing, in the midst of pandemic craziness and chaos. There's a principle in verse 21 of Jeremiah chapter 3 that we need to remember. Jeremiah teaches us the importance of this concept, the importance of theology proper. My dad used to teach at a Bible college in Dubuque, Iowa, a Emmaus Bible College. He taught there for over 50 years, and one of the courses he taught was entitled Survey of Doctrine. Sometimes it was referred to as Survey of Gloctrine, where he went through the basic doctrines, surveyed the basic doctrines of Scripture, and taught them in an overview type of manner. One of the first doctrines that ever is considered is the doctrine of theology proper. It's where we as believers need to pause and think about the reality and existence of God, the fact that he is real, the fact that he exists, and then to ponder and consider what he is like. How has he revealed himself to us in a general way through his creation and in a special way through Holy Scripture? And as a result, what do we know to be true of him? What is he like? And so understand that principle, the principle of theology proper. Jeremiah is demonstrating that for us in verse 21, and he says it this way. He says, this I recall to my mind. This I recall to my mind. I'm able to through thought and mental process, I'm able to think about who God is, what he is like, and what he has promised. I'm able to consider, we would call it theology proper, I'm able to consider all that I know to be true of God because he has revealed himself to me. And so in the midst of heartache, in the midst of despair, in the midst of circumstances where the weeping prophet tells us, I don't have any more strength, and I don't have hope, in the midst of that, he's able to do this. We must do this, and we'll do it together today. We must remember who God is and what he is like. He uses this language, this I recall, this I remember, this I recollect, or I recollect. I think about the things that I know to be true. Here's what God said to me through his word Jeremiah audibly heard that. We have revealed scripture. Here's what God has said. Here's what God has revealed. Here's what I know to be true about God. And notice what he says. Please notice in verse 21, the response. He uses the word therefore. Important for us to ask why. What is the therefore, therefore? As I remember, as I recall, as I recollect, as Jeremiah does this, he says he has something that just previously he says he's without. Do you see the connection? In verse 18, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. I'm out of strength, and I am out of hope, Jeremiah says. And then he teaches us the principle that he needed to go through, and that we must go through as well. What can we remember about God? What is he like? What has he said? What has he promised? And when we think about those things, something happens. Jeremiah tells us. It's not a mystery. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And what we find in the next few verses, and we won't look at these in great detail, but what we find in the next few verses is a list that is not exhaustive. It's a list of some of the things that Jeremiah could remember and recall about our God. He shares with us what he thought about. Remember, it starts in your minds. It starts in our minds. This I recall to my mind. Here's what I remember. Here's what I can recall about who God is and what he's like. And as a result, I have hope. And so he lists these for us. I'll try to read them without much comment. Starting at verse 22, follow with me. He says this, the Lord's loving kindnesses, his hesed, his loyal love, indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. Maybe your translation says, his mercies never cease. His loving kindnesses, his loyal love, indeed, they never cease. We can expect them to be new every morning. Jeremiah says, for his compassions, his mercies, or his loving kindnesses, they never cease. I told you I'd read without comment, but it's really hard to do because these are great promises. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, he says. We know that expression. We know that phrase. We have sung it many times, but may we be reminded today that as he makes that declaration, it's in the midst of despair. It's in the midst of a circumstance where he is without strength and without hope. And he says, nevertheless, your faithfulness, God, is great. Verse 24, we'll close with this as our consideration from Lamentation as we consider this principle, the principle of theology proper. He closes by saying, the Lord is my portion. Remember when he said, I don't have the strength? Now he says, he has the strength. I am without, but he is not. He is my portion. And he declares at the end of verse 24, therefore I have hope in him. Jeremiah said early on in this section, verse 18, I don't have strength. I'm without strength. I'm without hope. And now he says, the Lord is my strength. He's my portion. And as a result, I do have hope. How did that come about? He went through the principle and the process of theology proper, thinking about who God is and what he is like, what he has said and what he has promised. We have to remember those things. We must recall those things. We must intellectually and intentionally, in the midst of difficult days, bring those principles to mind, those truths, those promises, even those words. And as a result, we can have strength. As a result, we can have hope. I invite you to turn to a second passage for our consideration today, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you're turning, allow me to ask you a second question for today. Question number one for our consideration has been and still is, How do we respond to difficult days? How do we respond biblically to difficult days? When life is hard and it might not get easier, how do we respond? And we've seen an answer to that. We must respond with the principle of theology proper. This I recall to my mind about who God is and what he's like and what he has said and what he has revealed to us from his word. And as a result, I have hope. Here's a second question for our consideration. What is your favorite promise that he has said in his word? What passage of scripture would you turn to? What attributes of God would you recall or bring to mind? What truth or what promise or even what word from God's word would you recall to mind? Do we recall to mind that bring us hope in the midst of the heartache and the despair? When we feel as if we're without strength and without hope, what do we remember specifically? So here's your homework. Should you choose to accept this online assignment, here's your homework. Share with one another today. I wish I could be there with you to hear your response and to share with you my favorite attributes and my favorite characteristics and to hear yours. So I invite you to do that with your family today. As you have lunch together, perhaps, as you have time together, considering our passages for today, what favorite attribute, what favorite characteristic, or dare I even say, what favorite word from God's word do you recall, do you bring to mind? And as a result, you have hope. For the duration of our time today, together this morning, I would like to look at a passage that I recall. A passage that I have been encouraged by in great ways this year in 2020. Really, I started focusing in on this passage in late January, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I would love to, for the time that remains, I would love for us to see primarily some key words of comfort and encouragement. Some key words that in the midst of difficult days, when life is hard, and it might not get easier, we can recall to mind. We can remember these words. We've seen the example of Jeremiah and the principle of theology proper. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Paul does the same thing. Peter does the same thing. James does the same thing. The Lord Jesus did the same thing. Recalling to mind God's word and his promises, and as a result, having strength and having hope. This section can be divided into two portions, really three, verses 1 and 2, brief words of introduction, and we'll try to keep those brief as well. Verses 3 through 7 will be our primary consideration, where we will see key words and hopefully better understand what these words mean. And as a result, may they bring us comfort. And may they bring us hope and strength in the midst of difficult days. And then we'll have Paul evidence his gratitude, his thankfulness for deliverance in verses 8 through 11, if time permits. Notice in verses 1 and 2 with me then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, an example of one of those passages that we should recall to mind in the midst of difficult days that brings us hope. Notice in verses 1 and 2, Paul again, as he often does, establishes the fact that he's an apostle of Christ, establishes often that brings authority, that he is a sent one. He's apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not something he decided to do. It's God's will for his life, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. And so he addresses the church at Corinth. And he wants to encourage them, and he wants to bring validity to his ministry and to his calling that later in 2 Corinthians will be brought into question. And so he establishes early on his apostleship, and he wants the believers, like he often does, the saints in Corinth, to be reminded that he is grateful and that he is thankful. And so in verses 3 through 7, he reminds us of his gratitude for comfort. And verses 8 through 11, he reminds us of his gratitude for deliverance. But in his greeting, he brings to our attention two words that I think we often too quickly pass by. Notice he says and identifies the audience, which is a typical greeting to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. And then in verse 2, he uses two words of greeting that were typical of the day. And these are our first two words of many that we will consider to bring us comfort and hope. He greets the saints, and he wants the saints to be reminded of two concepts that only are from our great God. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been customary and not inappropriate over the years for the church to greet one another with these words, grace and peace. Grace and peace during this season of quarantine and all things COVID-19. I've been serving and working from home, and on occasion in the morning, as I grab a coffee, I might tune into the Today Show with my bride, and we might listen to some of the updates for the day. And on one occasion, some of you might know the name Savannah on the Today Show. Some of you may not watch, and you're going to make it through this tough time. But she made mention of missing the privilege of going to her church. She missed the tradition that would take place when they would gather together and they would embrace one another in a very appropriate way. And they would say to one another these words. They would say to one another, grace and peace. And we are not to do that in a robotic form and fashion, and we're not to do it in some ceremony or religious fashion as well. But we surely, as believers, need to be reminded of these words. So two words for us to consider that we can bring to mind and, as a result, have strength and hope in the midst of difficult days are indeed grace and are indeed peace. Be reminded with me today, the word grace here is not solely or even specifically talking about saving grace. He's writing to people who are already saved. They've already made a decision to trust in Christ, and he desperately wants them to remember, to be reminded that when life is hard and it might not get easier, God provides us sustaining grace. Sustaining grace. Grace that will help us to make it through each and every day. Isn't that a grand encouragement? We can say to one another, grace and peace. These two words were really greetings of the day, but they were to convey something far beyond just a greeting. They were to convey that we have unmerited, undeserved favor that not only provides us with salvation, but it provides us with sustaining strength for each day. Remember Jeremiah? I'm without strength. And Paul says here, and Jeremiah remembered as well, he gives us strength. Grace, sustaining unmerited favor that helps us through each day when we are out of strength and when we are out of hope. He continues with the concept of peace. And peace was not just saying hello to one another. It wasn't just a shalom, a greeting. The word peace has significant meaning also. And the word peace conveys something that we can have that will not fail us. We can have this peace that will guard our minds. Paul tells us that. It will guard our hearts, the way we think and the way we feel, such to the extent that we will not be able to explain it. Perfect peace. Peace, perfect peace. This is the peace that Paul's talking about. Some of you might know the name of an individual named Dr. Steve Price. His dear father passed away recently, and he's in the midst of preparing for, if not going through, ceremonies to remember his best friend and his dad. And this concept is a concept that brings him today much comfort and much peace. It guards his mind and heart because the God of peace offers us the peace of God. And so Paul writes, and again, our goal is to focus in on some key words in this passage to give us help, strength in the midst of difficult days. And so he says, grace and peace. It would not be wrong for us to sincerely say that to one another as we interact with one another, as we greet one another, to say grace and peace, but to understand what they mean. Sustaining unmerited favor that helps us each step along the way, and a peace that surpasses all understanding that we cannot explain nor comprehend. Paul writes and reminds us that we have these things from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 3 these words. He says in verse 3, blessed be then. The word "then" is not recorded, but it's there for emphasis. I add it for emphasis so we might understand. He's saying we have grace and peace. And because we have grace and peace, may we worship God appropriately. May we in all things and for all things give thanks, Paul is saying here. And he says elsewhere, he expresses an attitude of gratitude and he calls us to worship. The word blessed there, or blessed, has this rendering or meaning. I love this. Here's our third word for consideration today. The first was grace. The second is peace. And now we look at the word blessed or blessed. And it really conveys this. May God be adored. Isn't that fantastic? Think about that. In the midst of heartache and discouraging days, and we'll see that Paul went through those and would continue to go through those in the midst of such days, like Jeremiah, like we are experiencing today, we can say, regardless of circumstances, may God be blessed. May he be adored. May God be adored. It's been described as the expression of highest veneration and thankfulness. Paul begins this section, verses 3 through 7, expressing gratitude for comfort by saying God needs to be praised. He needs to be adored. He needs to be blessed. He needs to be honored appropriately because of who he is and because of what he's like. Notice what he does next. Again, it's the process and the principle of theology proper that we saw in Lamentations chapter 3. He says this, blessed be God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes him. He already said in verse 2, we have grace and peace. We can greet one another with these truths because we have them from God. And so in verse 3, he says we need to adore him and worship him because of his grace and peace. And we need to remember what he's like. And so he goes on in verse 3 to say these words. I love this. Look at what he says in verse 3. As we're being careful to look at key words to bring us strength and hope in the midst of difficult days, he says this, describing God this way. He is the Father of mercies. I love that. I love that. We really could take the rest of our time to talk about this concept, the Father of mercies. Understand what Paul is conveying here. A couple of key points, two things. Number one, he talks about the fact, he's emphasizing the fact that mercy, the concept of mercy that Jeremiah talked to us about, loyal, chesed love, mercies that are new every morning. Paul reminds us that the very concept of mercy is sourced in God. Mercy comes from. Don't you love that? He is the Father of mercy. Mercies come from God. They are sourced from God. And he is merciful. Not only does mercy come from God, is it found in God? That is what he's like. He's merciful. Not only does he offer us mercy, can we find mercy from him, the Father of mercies, but that is what he's like in his dealings with us. That is how he is. That is who he is. And so be reminded of our fourth word for today, the concept of mercy. Unmerited favor is this idea of grace, not grace is getting what we surely do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And it talks about his loyal love to us. His mercies are new every morning. One of the things that we've done together as a family during this season of quarantine and having all sorts of restrictions, we as a family have tuned into all kinds of special messages and concerts that have been made available to bring strength and to bring hope. Amazing what we can do through technology that is of worth and is profitable. And there's a group, actually two individuals known as Shane and Shane, both named Shane, if you made that connection. They're Christian artists, and they have provided all kinds of great music to encourage the saints. And one of their songs is entitled, His Mercy Is More. I'd encourage you to Google it today. Maybe not right now, but Google it today sometime. His mercy is more. And it's a great reminder that our God is the Father of mercies. Mercy is sourced in him, and mercy is who he is. He is merciful. Mercy, his mercy is more. Paul goes on to use a word in the end of verse 3 to encourage us and comfort us. It's our fifth word for today. Grace being the first, peace being the second, blessed or blessed being the third, mercy being the fourth, and the fifth word for us to think about is repeated some 9 or 10 times in this section as we consider verses 3 through 7. The word comfort is repeated over and over again. Sometimes this passage is a tongue-twisting passage as we realize that comfort is not just for us. Comfort is for the sake of others. So we can, when we receive comfort from our great God, adequate to the amount of difficulty he will provide us comfort, we are to provide comfort to others as well. This is the comfort section. Count, if you will, the number of times the word comfort is mentioned in verses 3 through 7. Let me take just a few moments as we will consider verses 3 through 7 in the time that remains. This idea of comfort is a word that is used not only to convey understanding, but the word comfort here conveys that our great God comes alongside of us, beside us, to offer us help and to lead us and to guide us. Listen to the description of this word that is used for comfort. This Greek word means much more than mere sympathy. It communicates the idea of one person standing alongside another person. Did you hear that? It conveys the idea of one person coming alongside and standing alongside another person to offer them assistance. The idea of one person standing alongside another person to encourage and support his friend. That's what the word comfort means here. Paul says in verse 3, describing our great God, he is the Father of mercies and he is the God of all comfort. But let me say this to you about the word comfort. It's the same root word that is used for the Holy Spirit. My dad passed away over a year ago, and it has been a challenging season of loss for us and for our family. There's a phrase that my dad and I shared with one another for the last several years of his life in ministry. He'd use it to encourage me, I'd use it to encourage him. And he would often say to me, and I would say to him on numerous occasions as well, this phrase, the helper will help. The helper will help. We know that in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus promises us a great comforter, a helper, The word, the original word there is the word paraclete, this idea for a helper or an advocate. And that word is used to describe the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. And that's that same word, the same original word that is used here as we see the word comfort. The Holy Spirit is described as our comforter, as our helper. The helper will help us. The helper will help our advocate, our helper. And then in the epistles of John, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is described as our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same word, the word helper or comforter, the advocate, paraclete or paraclesis is used in 2 Corinthians to describe the Father, but it's used to describe the Holy Spirit in John 14 and the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 John, the epistles of John. And what a great reminder for us in the midst of difficult days when life is hard and it might not get easier, that our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all are our comforters. The same word is used. The one used here to describe the Father is used to describe each member of the Trinity. We can be heartened by this truth. We can find strength and hope because of the word comfort that is used here. And so let me remind you, as I read this portion to you, how many times the word comfort is used and how it is used to bring us comfort, but we are to use it to bring others comfort as well. And that comfort ultimately comes from our great God. Verses 3-7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction, every bit of it, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Someone has once said, God never wastes a hurt. When we go through affliction and difficulty, we are guaranteed equal in measure and amount comfort from the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, life is hard and it may not get easier, might not get easier, so also our comfort is abundant, abundant comfort through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Your growth in salvation, Paul is referencing here. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And here's another word for our consideration, a sixth, if you will. And our hope, there it is again, our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Dear friends, today we've looked at five specific words, yea, six if we include the word hope. And these are words that in the midst of difficult days, in the midst of being without strength, in the midst of being without hope, we must remember. What do we recall? What do we recollect? What do we recollect? What do we bring to mind that will therefore give us strength and give us hope in difficult days? Five words for us to remember. Not just remember the words, but what they mean. Grace, sustaining grace, peace that guards our minds and hearts, mercy that is new every morning. His mercy is enough. Comfort, coming alongside to help, assist, and to guide. Comfort and hope are ours. Father, help us, we pray, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of days where we are like Jeremiah, not the same circumstances, but difficult circumstances. Nevertheless, when we are without strength and when we are without hope, may we recall, may we remember, may we bring to mind who you are and what you are like, what you have said and what you have promised, and even words that we've considered today that help us better understand what you are like. Help us never to forget these five and or six words of grand importance: grace, peace, mercy, comfort, hope. May we remember these things, these words, Father. May we be encouraged by these words. We thank you for these truths, these concepts that we can remember: grace, peace, mercy, comfort, hope. Help us to remember, to recall these things, and as a result, have strength and have hope in the midst of difficult days. We pray these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.